Amen. We have thoughts, then your thoughts ultimately determine how you see things. And how you see things determines how you respond to things. And 99% of the time, our first response to anything is verbal. We say something. Amen. That doesn't mean it stops there, but that's usually our first response. What shall we say to these things? How are we going to respond to these things? And so we've said that if we're going to grow, we're going to have to grow in our thoughts. If life is going to be any different or better for us, it requires a better understanding. And if our actions are ever going to change, and I don't just mean, you know, for the first 4 days of a new year, if our actions and behavior is ever going to change, lasting change, then it's going to be a result of us seeing things differently than we see them now. Amen. You can't live a different life than you've been living if you continue to see things the way you have always seen them. And so what the Holy Spirit, and it's such a gift, what the Holy Spirit has done for us in this passage, and it's why we've referred to it for months now, is he's giving us these tools. He's giving us this insight. And what the enemy wants us to do is you know, resolve, you know, to do this and to do that, and not ever really get to the root of what's going on in our lives. Let me say it another way. The devil will have you chasing bad fruit for the rest of your life in a vicious cycle of it gets bad. We try to go to the altar, knock it all off, and then, you know, just the cycle repeats over and over again. It's because the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for from your heart spring forth the issues of life. So you can try to change the issues, or you can cooperate with God and let him change the heart. And if the hearts change, the issues will change, and not just temporarily. And watch this. They'll change in the sense that it'll be such a marked difference in your life. And some of you have already, I hope most of you, if not all of you, have already experienced this. It'll be such a marked difference in your life that you'll look back on things you used to think you couldn't live without and now wonder why you ever even wanted them in the first place. All right. So 1 Corinthians 13 is often referred to as the love chapter, and it certainly does have a lot to say about love, but it's also the growing up chapter. And the more I read this, and the more I study this, and the more I learn about this, and the Lord reveals things to me about this, is even what we have about love and what he's revealing to us about love here is because if we're going to grow as human beings, we've got to grow in love. Amen. Now, that's on down the road. So last week we said that growth is the key to lasting change. Growth is the key to lasting change. What do we mean by that? Well, there are certain things in our lives that we just simply need to outgrow. And that's what Paul was talking about. When he thought like a child, when he saw things like a child, when he responded to things like a child, right? He lived like a child. But when he put away the childish things, amen, and begin to what? Begin to understand on a more mature level. So we're talking about growth now, right? We're thinking on a higher level, on a more mature level, which enables us to see things on a more mature level, which then enables us to respond on a more mature level. Amen. So he's ultimately talking about what here? He's talking about growth. I got the right bunch this morning. He's talking about growth. Now, it's real easy to make a New Year's list, you know, resolutions and whatever. That's easy. Growth requires effort. Growth requires consistency. Growth requires doing some things that you may not be comfortable with. And we'll get to that a little more here, okay? But this is how we grow physically, and it's also how we grow spiritually. Now, growth means living on a higher level. And that's obviously what we all long for and all what we desire in our lives, a higher level of behaving, a higher level of increase as far as our joy and our peace and even our finances and, you know, more. Are you following what I'm saying? It's just a higher level. And I don't mean to be vague when we talk about this, but you'll see how certainly the scriptures refer to this life on a higher level. God created us to live above and not beneath. He wants us to be the head and not the tail. Of course, I'm quoting from the Old Covenant now. Overcoming instead of undergoing. But in order to live on a higher level, we must think, understand, and speak on a higher level. Or we must think on a higher level, we must understand, we must see things on a higher level, and then we must respond to people and to situations and circumstances on a higher level. Am I the only person that's ever like come out of a situation and go, man, you know, I could have handled that better. You know, it's like, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said this. Okay. Well, amen. I know that can be sometimes painful, but guess what? That's growth. Do you realize how many people just act a fool and they don't later think, you know, I could have probably handled that better. They think they handled it just fine. That's childish, right? That's childish. That's why we have to point out to our children when they're doing things and responding in ways that are inappropriate. Let's just say it that way, okay? So said another way, it's impossible to consistently, and that's the key word here, consistently. You can get there temporarily, amen, by adding to, taking away, and rearranging what's there. But if we're going to consistently live on a higher level, we're going to have to think, see things, and respond on a higher level. Now let's go again to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. It's almost an unwritten rule in pastoring that when you come to a new year, you have to mention Philippians 3. Amen. And I have mentioned Philippians 3 for decades now. But I'm seeing things now that I haven't seen before in these passages. And again, what a gift. And it's of no coincidence that the same Holy Spirit and the same Apostle Paul who brought 1 Corinthians 13 to us also brought Philippians 3 to us. And the more you read and study and understand the things that the Holy Spirit revealed to the Apostle Paul, you're able to connect those things together through his different letters or lessons, if you will, that he brought to the church. Now, let's begin at verse number 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, again, we have to understand the invitation that Jesus gave us in Matthew 11. He said, come and I will give, learn and you will find. Come and I will give, learn and you will find. And Paul is echoing that here because what he's recognized is that because he's in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus is in him, because he's been born again and Jesus has laid hold of him, there are things that are now within reach for him that were previously out of reach. Things that he can now experience and enjoy in life that apart from Christ, he would have never had the opportunity to experience and enjoy. But notice now, Paul is also affirming what we see in other places in the scripture, that he has to put some effort into laying hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold. In other words, just because it's within reach for you doesn't mean it's going to automatically happen in your life. Amen. There is effort on our part that's required. There is cooperation on our part that's required. And if we refuse to cooperate, if we refuse to be led by the Holy Spirit, if we refuse to listen to him and do what he says, things that we could have otherwise experienced, enjoyed, accomplished, we will never experience, we will never enjoy, we will never accomplish. Not because God is withholding them from us, but because ultimately our own understanding is blinding us to those things. He said, do not lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding cannot be trusted. Your own understanding will never get you to the place in life that God created you to live. We must have His understanding. We must allow Him the opportunity to produce within us the right way of seeing things, the right way of responding to things. And so Paul says, I'm pressing on. Now, I'm not going to take the time to give you an exhaustive list. But this man had accomplished about as much as any human being ever alive has accomplished in the things of God. When we talk about somebody who's laid hold of some things, the Apostle Paul had laid hold of some things. It wasn't like he was a beginner. It wasn't like he was a novice. It wasn't like he was a baby Christian that hadn't really experienced anything or enjoyed any of the things of God. This man had been to heaven and back. This man had raised people from the dead. This man had been raised from the dead himself. This man, the accomplishments are a list a mile long. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I just want to plant this seed and we're going to continue to develop, okay, this. It was this attitude that enabled the Apostle Paul to see what other people could not see relative to our salvation, righteousness by faith. Salvation is a gift, not of works. All the things that the Apostle Paul was able to see and keep on seeing and then seeing more and seeing more and seeing more was because he had this attitude. He had this attitude. Now let me keep going here. So he says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. That word apprehended, some say arrived. In other words, the Apostle Paul said, there's only one thing that I really feel like I've mastered, if I could put it in language that we might use and better understand. He goes, if there's anything that I have mastered relative to my walk with the Lord is I've mastered this. Forget what's behind me and reach for what's ahead of me. He said, I've mastered that. And so what? He's pressing. He realizes, we'll come back to this in a moment. He realizes that there's more and he wants it. Now, there are a lot of God's people who don't realize there's any more than what they have right now. Well, praise God, I'm here to tell you there's more. Okay? But there are, watch this now, this is very sad to me, and to be honest with you, I have a hard time, you know, understanding it, if I could use that word, okay? Is that there are a whole bunch of God's people who do know there's more, but they don't want it. That's beyond me. Again, it goes back to, and the problem and the answer is both within understanding. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Here's that word again. I press. Somebody say press. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now that word call is the word klesis in the original language. And I'll put it up and I'll come back. That word call is from the Greek klesis, which is God's invitation. So he's inviting you. It's an invitation. Do you understand invitation? Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's an invitation. God is inviting you. Remember, Jesus is not the great cowboy. He's the great shepherd. The great cowboy, a cowboy drives cattle, gets behind them and cracks the whip and forces them in a direction that they may or may not want to go in. Shepherds are completely different. Shepherds get in front of the sheep and invite them to follow. So he's giving us an invitation here. You realize you can receive an invitation, but you don't necessarily have to respond to. It'd be rude not to respond at all. But if somebody invites you to something and you've already got something else planned, it's not mandatory. It's one thing if your boss says it's a mandatory meeting. It's another thing if your boss says, hey, I'm inviting your department to lunch. I'd love for you to join us. Well, you know, I'm sorry, sir. I've got a doctor's appointment that day. I'll see if I can rearrange the schedule. But I please know I appreciate the invitation. So we're talking about an invitation here. An invitation here. And the invitation is to come on up higher. The invitation is to live on a higher level. The invitation is to see things the way God sees them. The invitation is to be able to respond to things the way God responds to them. Amen. Amen. Life gets a whole lot easier when you can see things as they truly are. And it gets a whole lot more enjoyable. Life is very painful. Life is very frustrating. Life is very confusing. Life is is filled with all kinds of anxiety. And the Bible says anxiety in the heart causes depression, right? What is the root of all of that? And what is the answer to all that? The root of all of it is not seeing things as they truly are. The answer to it is to be able to see things as they truly are. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I love that line, that song, we are not alone. For some reason, just about every time y'all sing that line, I go back to a documentary that I watched about the moon landing. And I'm not sure which one of those men said it, but you know, they had to go around the backside of the moon, and when they did, they lost all communication whatsoever. And it wasn't until they came back around, you know, that they, Houston, you know, whatever, they come back online, right? And those men talked about, I don't know which one of them, but he was talking about the perspective from that place in our galaxy and ultimately our universe. He said, everywhere you look is just desolation. He said, you come back around the moon and there's Earth shining and beautiful and brilliant. But it's the only thing that's shining and beautiful and brilliant. I mean, obviously there's stars way, way out there, right? And he says, I've never had such an overwhelming sense of, man, we are all alone out here as humankind in this universe. We are not alone. Pastor Mark, you say you believe in UFOs? If they're out there, God is the God of them just like he's the God of you and me. I'm talking about me and you. We are not alone. God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, sweet Jesus. So the word call is an invitation. He's inviting you. He's not forcing you. He's not going to get behind you and drive you and push you and shove you. If you're ever going to live any better than you're living right now, it's going to be because you make a deliberate, intentional choice to do something different than you've been doing right now. All right, he says, verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, so you see he's talking about growing here, have this mind, and in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree. So he's talking about increments and degrees. To the degree that we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. He's basically saying, hold the ground that you've gained and build on it. Don't back up. So, upward, as we've already said, means there's a higher place for us to experience and realize this side of heaven. Amen? Far too many, listen to me now, far too many of God's children are living like they have already attained and are already perfected in their outward life expression. Let me say that again. Far too many of God's children are living like they've already attained, like there's nothing else for us to accomplish, like there's nothing else for us to experience, like there's nothing better or higher or more. My friend, do you know the Apostle Paul revealed to us that there's a place in our daily life expression that the Holy Spirit gave him these words, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God? If you think you've attained and achieved and laid hold of all there is to attain and achieve and lay hold on, you are sadly mistaken, my friend. Do you remember, and I'm going to put this up here, it's in my notes, but do you remember the phrase from Psalm 82 in the Amplified? He talks about the darkness of complacent satisfaction. The darkness of complacent satisfaction. Well, here's the reality of it. You will never grow if you're satisfied where you are. You will never grow if you think you've reached the limits of what you can have and accomplish in Christ Jesus. Man, come on now. There is so much more available for us to experience and enjoy, but we must grow to realize it. Now, this is very important. So, Pastor Mark, this sounds like some teaching I've heard other places. Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. And the key word in that slide is the word realize it. Pay very close attention to that word. You must grow to realize it, not grow to earn it. You don't grow to earn it, you grow to realize it. You realize that you have been freely given all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You have been seated together with Christ in heavenly places. You have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, so that you might know the things that have been freely given to you by God. We're not growing to earn it or to get it or to deserve it. We've already got it. Jesus deserved it and gave it to us. Jesus earned it and paid the price for it and gave it to us. So we're not talking about earning or deserving. We're talking about coming to a realization. So there's so much more available for us to experience and enjoy, but we must, come on now, we must do what? We gotta grow. We gotta grow. I want to say it louder than I'm saying it right now. We got to grow. Are you hearing me? Maybe you'll hear me if I whisper. We got to grow to realize it. So let me ask you some questions. Don't answer them out loud, please, okay? Unless you know the answer. Okay. Do you believe you've arrived? Do you believe that you've reached the limits of your potential in Christ Jesus? Have you laid hold of everything that Jesus has put within reach for you? But are we living like we have? Are we living in the darkness of complacent satisfaction? See, I want to go back to it, and I mentioned it in a moment. I'm going to go back to it. I believe more than anything else, that this is why so much was revealed to the Apostle Paul. He fought against the darkness of complacent satisfaction. When we get satisfied and become complacent, we can't see any further ahead. We think of darkness as being unable to see. No. Darkness, people in darkness still see. They just are not seeing things as they truly are. Right? That's why Jesus said, if the light that is in you rather be darkness, how great's the darkness? If how you see things is not how they truly are, then how blind are you? So answering the upward call, can we nail this down? It requires effort on our part. Again, not effort to earn, not effort to deserve. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said, study to show yourself approved. He didn't say study to earn approval. We're not trying to get God to approve of us. He already has. But the instructions to Timothy were, learn, grow, develop, so that the approval that you've already been given will be visible to all. Do you see the difference there? So answering the upward call requires effort on our part. The Holy Spirit describes this effort as pressing. As pressing. Pressing against, pressing on. So the question then is, pressing against what? If we've got to press to grow, what is it that we need to press against? Pressing against what? Now, we will be more specific as we progress in our study. But generally speaking, pressing is pushing back against an opposing force. Pressing is pushing back. Are you hearing me now? Pressing is pushing back against an opposing force. Pressing against a force that's trying to stop you. That's trying to keep you where you are. That's trying to push you backwards. Physically speaking, it's easier to stay where you are or go down than it is to keep going up. It requires very little effort to go down, more effort to stay where you are, even more effort to go higher. So do you see why the darkness of complacent satisfaction is such an issue? Is your life better today than it was 5 years ago? Man, mine is. Amen. And we're thankful for that. But somewhere along the way, we reach a point where we just get satisfied and we quit pressing. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Kind of that whole attitude, right? Well, see, because the kingdom of God is always moving forward. You ever been a passenger in a car or a driver in a car and you look over next to you and the car in front of you is easing forward and you stomp your brake because you thought you were rolling backwards? Because the kingdom is always moving forward. When we get complacent and stop, it's might as well be backsliding because the goal is going forward and we're staying where we are. So it's an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart. Pressing is pushing back against an opposing force. Now, Satan is behind it. And I want to expose him. If you read the Bible carefully, we actually have more than one assignment. We got a lot of assignments, but relative to what we are supposed to be presenting to the world, we're supposed to be presenting the victory of Jesus to the world, but we're also supposed to be publicizing the defeat of Satan. Amen. The defeat of Satan. So he loves to hide behind smoke and mirrors and excuses and all these other things but I'm not trying to give him a cover this morning. Satan is behind it, but I call this opposing force resistance. Where we meet resistance. Now, some of you have heard me say this more than once. We need to be reminded of it over and over again, all right? You did not wake up in a neutral world this morning. I know it shocks a lot of people when I say this, but the Bible is very clear. Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. He is the ruler of this world. Jesus said that. People say, well, you know, God's in control. God's control. God is not controlling what happens on this planet. I know that shocks a lot of people. What's the crime rate in heaven this morning? How many people starving to death in heaven this morning? How many children battling malaria in heaven this morning? Okay, that's where God's in control. That's where God's calling the shots. Okay? And so we woke up this morning in a world that's pulling the current of this world. Now we're in the kingdom, we're not in this world. Remember that. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We're in the kingdom. We're here on assignment. We're ambassadors for the government of our Heavenly Father's kingdom, representing His interests and enforcing His will in the darkness that is this planet. But you did not wake up in a neutral world this morning. If it were a neutral world, it would be just as easy to pray and read the Bible as it is to watch television. If it was a neutral world, a boneless, skinless chicken breast would be just as appealing to us as a double bacon cheeseburger. I got a lot of these. I'll just give you a few of my favorites. If it were a neutral world, watch this. Tolerance would be a two-way street. Are you with me? But we all know it's not. We all know that it's not. Oh, don't get me started on that. Praise the name of the living God. Have you figured out by now that the church is supposed to be tolerant against the things of the world? But I'm talking about as the way the world sees it. We should be tolerant of them, but how, God forbid, they ever be tolerant of us. Keep pressing. That's right, sister. And I know you're doing it too, along with a lot of others. Let me see if this will bring it home for you. If it were a neutral world, a compliment would carry the same weight as a criticism. But it doesn't, does it? 15 people can tell you, man, that outfit looks really good on you. One person can say, looks like your mama dressed you today. What you wearing, right? And now, forget all those other people that know us and love us. And one stranger, we don't even know the person. You're wearing that today? Really? To work? Are you serious? And now so all we can think about is the one person who criticizes. We just take that for granted like that's normal. That is not normal. It's resistance. It's the enemy. Now, here's the thing you got to understand. Satan is betting, and when I say betting, I literally mean he's gambling. He's betting that you will take, I will take the path of least resistance. That we won't go forward and press against, but that the moment we meet resistance, we'll start looking for another path. Something easier. Something that requires less of us. Something that'll let us sleep in on Sunday mornings. Come on now. Something that is more comfortable for our lifestyle or whatever that is. Now, when I say he's gambling, why? I say he's gambling or he's betting because he knows, the devil knows, that if you push back against the resistance, it will make you grow, it will make you stronger, and you will become much more difficult to deal with down the road. Now, it's low-hanging fruit, but it needs to be stated nonetheless. If and I know there are a lot of you in here who do, but you know what we, a fancy term or another term for someone who lifts weights, who exercises with weights, it's called resistance training. Why does someone lay down on a weight bench and grab a heavy weight and drop it down to their chest and push it back up? It's because that's how you grow the pecs. Amen, right? You don't get a chiseled chest by sitting on the couch. I don't think I told Jake and Bethany this. She was playing the other day, but please don't. Amen. Don't get her. Anyway, she bit me right there, Anthony. Right there. And I almost didn't tell anybody because I didn't want anybody to know that somebody could bite me right there. You know what I'm saying? There's not supposed to be anything right there. What you laughing for, Kim? There's not supposed to be anything right there that you can bite. You know what I'm saying? I was really concerned this morning that if I didn't pay her more attention when I was holding her, because if you don't, like the other day, she was trying to get my attention, Dan Daddy. Finally, she says, Mark. That one's something else, I'm telling you right now. So she got my attention, buddy. I'm telling you, she got it. All right, so I digress. Amen. So we know it right here, right? James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the test tempts trials of your faith, produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Right? Now we'll come back to that, all right? But resistance is how the devil tries to steer you away from the path that leads to the realization of God's best in your life. We're exposing him now. We're exposing him. Imagine a sign with an arrow that says, God's best for your life that way. Okay? That way. All right? And now imagine the devil doing everything he can to steer you away from that way. Everything he can do to keep you from going that way. And he would much rather us go that way. I mean, just down into all kinds of misery and sin and debauchery and all that stuff. That's what he ultimately wants, right? But if he can't do that, just as long as it's not that way. Are you following me? It could be that way, that way, that way, that way. Just as long as it's not that way. So what does he do? He tries to make that way seem the most impossible or the most boring or the most, last thing in the world you would ever want to do. Listen now, this isn't a Bible verse, and so take it as I'm giving it to you, okay? But resistance is such a real thing in our lives that you can almost navigate by it. In other words, the one thing that the devil is trying, that you know you need to do, that the devil's trying to make it seem like the hardest thing you'd ever try to do, that's the next step. That's good. Are you following me? That's the next step. Oh, they'd never take my phone call. Oh, that was whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter, right? Do you listen to me, please? I know some of you think I'm just saying this when I. If every person showed up in this building this morning that told themselves sometime in the past, recent past, we're going to get back in church. You know, hon, we got to get these kids back in church. I mean, they're getting older now. We always say we want to raise our family in church. We got to get them in church. For that matter, if everybody who went to bed last night saying they were going to get up this morning and go, right? What happened to them? Resistance. Resistance, pardon my expression, resistance kicked their hind end this morning. Resistance beat them. It beat them, right? I'd love, some of you see, you hear resistance. Listen, when you invite your family members to church and they say things like, well, you know, I ain't got nothing to wear. It's not an excuse. It's resistance. Right? I'm not like them people down there. They'd judge me. You know, I tried church when I was younger and it just a bunch of hypocrites. It doesn't matter what, I mean, you name it, right? Devil don't care. Again, but all that's just resistance, right? You know, me and God, we got our own little thing worked out. I'm closer to God in a bass boat than I am in a church pew, you know what I'm saying? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm close to God in a bass boat. I love being out on the water and in nature. But it ain't just, are you following what I'm saying? Amen. It's just resistance talking. That's all. That's all it is. But see, the darkness of complacent satisfaction, you don't realize that that's what's going on right there. I don't believe there would be many empty seats, maybe no empty seats, if every person that has ever said within the last 2 months, need to get down there to Heritage, need to get to church in Heritage, you know? Now I'm not, can I, congratulations, you won this morning. You won this morning. Now, for some of you, because you've stomped a mud hole in resistance to coming to church for so long that you were excited about it, it wasn't really that big a deal. There's other folks listening to me right now. It seemed to have taken every ounce of motivation and energy and strength you had to get here today. But guess what? You won. You beat resistance. The devil tried to stop you, but he didn't today. Are you following me? And now look what you're hearing. Now look at the light that you're receiving. I try not to tell this story too much, but every time I think about complacent satisfaction, it reminds me. I know you're going to love me afterwards, right? It was when Lee Jones invited Jeff to church, and he said, man, see, he's laughing. He said, God will change your life, Jeff. And Jeff looked at him and said, change this? It's like, what do you mean? Nothing changing in my life. Change this? Man, what you mean, buddy? You loser? Didn't they hear needs to be changed? You might need to be changed. I don't need to be changed. Oh, I love you, Jeff Thomas. Amen. That was resistance. That was resistance speaking, right? I mean, you got a beautiful wife, beautiful home, beautiful children, great job, right? Like, why do I need to drive from Vestavia to Hueytown, some cabinet shop? Change that? You know, you see what I'm saying? Yes, sir. And still winning, brother. Still winning. Amen. But that... Now listen, the devil don't like this because he's been deceiving humankind for thousands of years. He's gotten really good at it. I hate to give him credit, but he's gotten really good at it. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Praise God, I'm running out of time. I need to keep, I am not just running out, I am out. Amen. All right. The clock on my iPad is about that big. I mean, it's on purpose. Amen. No, that's the way it comes from the factory. All right. Let's end here. If the life, this is on our website, by the way, this quote, it cycles through a bunch of quotes, hccnow.org. If the life you're looking for is in your comfort zone, you would have found it by now. Amen, right? I can't tell you how many times, and if you listen, you'll hear yourself say it and you hear other people say it. Well, you know, I'm just not comfortable, fill in the blank. I'm just not comfortable doing that. I'm just not comfortable worshiping God. I'm just not comfortable. That's a big resistance there. You know, I just don't like being in crowds of people. Well, hopefully you won't be able to tell them this for very long, but you can tell them, it's like, look, man, there's places in Heritage you can sit. Nobody will be within two rows of you. You know what I'm saying? But again, notice it's just, but see, that's what they're telling themselves. You know, I just not comfortable around a bunch of people. You know what I'm saying? Can I not just watch it online, you know? Well, I mean, if you live in Africa, watch this service online. But if you live in, Richard Presswood drove from Foley for how many years every Sunday? So, you know, I mean, you're talking about somebody beating resistance, man. He crushed it, didn't he? Right? You follow me? I've had people tell me before they live about 20 minutes from the church. They said, you know, it's just too far for us to drive. Okay. Same man drove 40 minutes to work every day. But see this, again, it's the darkness of complacent satisfaction. No hunger there for anything better or different. And so he's blinded to the fact that he just told a pastor that he drives almost twice as far to go to work every day than he does to go to church twice a week. Amen, I think you are. Okay. So you said it a minute ago, Sister Heather, the way forward is through the resistance. The way forward is through the resistance. Growth happens... when you push back against the resistance. You want to hear something cool? I had talked to Jeff about this sermon, I don't know, 6 weeks ago. And I'm sitting here typing this slide when a text message from him comes up on the screen and asks if today's the day we're going to talk about this. And I'm like, man, that's confirmation right there if there's ever been any, right? Last slide. I want to end on a positive note, and we'll do that in the prayer, okay? You cannot grow if you avoid the resistance. You just can't. You can't grow if you avoid the resistance. Why? Because you have an enemy who is strategically working against you to try to keep you from growing, okay? To try to keep you from, listen very carefully to the word, doing the things that will facilitate growth in your life. The enemy knows what those things are, and so he tries every way in the world to keep you away from them. Now, thank you, Jesus. This is where we're going to be next week, okay? If I had another hour, this is where we'd be today, okay? But I don't, so. But you need to hear this. You don't need to wait another week to hear this, all right? You cannot grow without the Word. Your enemy knows this, and he does everything he can to separate you from the Word. That was Jesus' parable of the sower, right? He comes to steal it. He comes to choke it out. He comes to overwhelm it. Anything but allow it to stay in your heart long enough to make a difference. So we must press against the resistance Satan brings where the Word of God is concerned. We can say it another way. God's Word is ground zero for your growth. Have you read it all the way through? Just keep looking straight ahead. Have you read it from Genesis to Revelation? I'm kind of being silly about this. You know there's going to be a day you get to heaven, man. It's like Nehemiah is going to, you'll run into him. It's like, hey, man, nice to meet you. Nehemiah? From the Bible, Nehemiah? Yeah, that's me. Said, I'm just curious, man. Did my book help you at all? They're there now. They're there. Am I right about it? They're there. Amen. It's more than that, though, see. Because, again, we'll make these connections next week, but let's go back to thinking, understanding, and speaking. We need a new source for our thoughts. We need a new source for our words. We need a new source. This Bible will tell you how to think. It'll tell you how to see things as they truly are. And it'll tell you how to respond. Amen. So do you see why the devil, he wants you to be limited to his way of thinking. The world's way of seeing things. He controls the world. And the world's way of responding to things. He don't want you hearing anything God has to say. And if you do, he's going to come try to steal it. Because the longer that thought stays in your heart, the greater the possibility of it changing the way you understand, the way you see things, right? So there's other areas of resistance, certainly, that we'll talk about, whatever, and are important. But man, right here, that's it. Can you do a chapter a day? Can you start the Gospel of John? Just do a chapter a day? But I don't mean just like speed read it. No, I mean like nurse it like a baby nurses a bottle or its mother's breast. Are you with me? Some of you watching discipleship class Wednesday night, I literally took the thing that the Lord had given me, rolled it up, and I said, nurse this. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? Grow thereby. Amen. Now, I skipped over a lot of, stand with me. I skipped over a lot of stuff this morning, but one of the things I'm going to circle back to in closing, and I can close for a long time, but let me try to get this said, okay? Paul recognized that there was more. Amen. And that's where growth begins. You got to recognize a need to grow. Right? If you don't think there's any more for you to know or learn or grow or do or experience and enjoy and accomplish in Christ Jesus, well then, that's the darkness of complacent satisfaction. Am I thankful for what I've experienced and enjoy? And yes, so thankful, man. My life's 1,000 times better because of him. But I also know, and the more I spend time in this word, that I hadn't even really scratched the surface of what our potential is. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Oh, Father, we just stand in your presence today. You know, Lord, our flesh may not like this kind of talk, but man, our spirit and renewed mind surely does. It touches something in us, Father, because it's real and it's congruent with the way you created us. It runs in alignment with it, Father. And so we want and ask this morning, Lord, for you to show us the next step that we need to take. When I say we, I'm talking about individually. But Father, even taking a step as individuals, Lord, it'll all coincide with and go along together with steps that other members in our family need to take. And then ultimately, Father, the steps that we need to take, the resistance that we need to push against as a family of faith. I thank you, Father, that you're still stirring and speaking to hearts about serving, Lord, and about being involved in doing things and helping. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. Amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, just amen. The Bible says that Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. No fault of his own. He was convicted and crucified. And on that cross, the Bible says he took upon himself the sin of the world. Carried that sin to death, hell, and the grave, but he was raised back to life again on the third day. He's now seated at the right hand of God the Father and made a promise that he would one day return to call those that are his back home with him. That, my brother and sister, is the gospel in a nutshell. And for someone to receive salvation is to say, hey, you know, I'm going to receive for myself what Jesus did for me as my substitute. And I was wondering this morning if there's somebody here, you say, Pastor Mark, I've never been born again, but I would love to receive that gift of salvation. Anybody, I know just about every person in the room, but I still felt compelled to ask. Amen. 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 All right, let's pray this together. Father God, come on, you can do better than that. Father God, we come to you now. In the name of your Son, Jesus. And we want to say thank you for creating us, for loving us, for never giving up on us, and for always believing the best about us. And Father, as I stand before you right now, I just reconfirm that I am yours and that you are mine. That I am your child and you are my father because Jesus is my Lord. And I thank you, Father, this morning for the faith to understand and receive for myself what Jesus did for me, what he did as me in his sinless life. In his death, his burial, his 3 days in hell, his resurrection, and his ascension. Father, he did that for me. And I now identify with it. I now receive it. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Go beat resistance. Go beat resistance. Don't be ignorant. Identify it. Matter of fact, when you face it, just say, I know what this is. This is resistance. You're not fooling me, devil. Amen. All right. Hey, I didn't announce this earlier, but we need some help removing the Christmas trees. Melanie and whoever helped you taking all the ornaments.